Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister. Spring has sprung in Toronto, Jason.
Okay, what does that mean?
There's no fucking snow.
Okay.
It's still cold, but there's no snow. Oh. And what I've discovered is that means it's also construction season. Our neighbor is rebuilding their deck, which involves tearing it down completely and building a new one. So hopefully it won't be too loud. We've also, I also happen to live very close to High Park, which is the largest park in Toronto. It's quite beautiful. And they have cherry blossoms, which have bloomed, which also means that the entire city of Toronto is packed into four square blocks right around my house, all of them honking at each other, trying to find parking to go see the cherry blossoms. So we'll see. We'll see how loud this recording is.
Okay. Well, I'm on a new microphone in a different room on a completely different setup. So, all the fun things.
It's life.
It is. I do remember I miss springtime in Chicago because after being stuck inside for that entire winter, that first warm day,
women
forget to wear clothes. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
It is the best day to go down to the lake. That was always day one. It's like, hey, spring, it's going to be 69 degrees today. And it's like, here we go.
All right. Micro bikini time.
That's it. Thank you so much, Mother Nature.
Yes. For all of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a little follow-up here from Matthias. I just thought this was a funny story, so I want to share. Right. Matthias says, hey, you, I just have to throw a tidbit of my own internet history to you. Once I was working in the music business. At the time, Napster was kind of new. In our office, we had a visitor, the CEO of Universal Music. Can't remember his name, but around year 2000, my CEO tasked me to show Napster to him. The Universal CEO asked if I could search for Metallica. I did, and his only response was, with force, fuck! Smiley face.
Yeah, I had a similar discussion. I can't even remember which label it was anymore. It would have been Warner or Atlantic, I guess. And I was on a conference call and it was asked, how do we get our stuff off of Napster? And I just said, you don't.
You don't. It's done.
You don't.
Nope. So. The horses have left the barn.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that little story, Matthias. We did get some feedback on a piece of news that we covered about gravity batteries and the people dropping big blocks of stuff down wells. Well, the feedback said, nah, that ain't never going to work. Well, there are a couple companies out there that are going to try and prove you wrong. So we've got two companies around the world that are trying to basically see if this is viable. So they built these 400 and some foot towers with 24 ton blocks of basically just compressed dirt that they're going to throw off at night. Yay.
All right.
That's science, man. Let's see if it works.
Hey, I'm up for it. Let's see if it works.
The point is that they use solar power during the day to hoist them up. They store them till it gets dark, and then the solar power goes away, which is when most people generally flip over to carbon spewing energy. So they're going to try and see if this will give them at least as much, if not more. If it gave more, then that would be
that would solve a lot of problems.
That really would solve a lot of problems. Yes. But at least a viable amount of electricity, since technically during the day, if it's solar and it's already free, so, you know, see how it works. My fingers are crossed for them because I really want this to work.
Yeah, be cool.
And a follow up to me checking Elizabeth Holmes's baby, you know, just to see if I was rubbing her tummy. Well, she did have the kid 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I love this. Just the title of this article, Elizabeth Holmes's daughter's name may be narcissism at its finest. So the child's name is Invicta, which is a feminized version of the Latin word meaning unconquered. Yet. what's the feminized Latin for yet?
Yeah, for just pushed off for a few weeks again.
Mother like daughter, I'm sure that
I was going to go in for some sort of joke about she tried to have the birth of her daughter delayed by 3 weeks, but her lawyers weren't able to pull it off. So, yeah, she has delayed the start of her 11-year prison sentence yet again by lodging yet another appeal that the lawyers have looked at and went, no, you got to be kidding me. So just get it over with. Go away.
I'm not very knowledgeable of the law, but it would be nice if someone filed an appeal, and if they lose the appeal, it's like double or nothing. They get twice the sentence they originally had. I know that's probably antithetical to the way the justice system is supposed to work, but you know.
That it's not really justice. It's more Vegas style.
I like that, though. Yeah. You know, I'm down.
Spin the wheel of Invictus.
In the news.
So from the no, seriously, do not quit your day job files. The hits keep on coming. And now who even knew Clubhouse was still around? Clubhouse is one of those wonderful companies that you and I watched everybody fawn over, get boners over. We had to put up with months and months of Clubhouse is the new hotness. It is changing the world. It is everything. Ugh. And you and I were just like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
it's a meeting without video. That's it. Yeah. It's another fucking meeting you got to attend. Jesus.
Well, the once hyped audio app that took off during the height of the pandemic is laying off staff as part of a company reset, the startup announced. I'm not sure if you fire half your company, that's just called laying off some people. That's more than a haircut.
Yeah, it's a little more than a haircut.
Yeah, they are scaling back their organization by over 50% and saying goodbye to many talented, dedicated teammates. Now, reportedly, and interestingly enough, they still say they were valued at $4 billion in 2021, which tells you just how crazy we all were during the pandemic. Yeah. You know what else was valued at $4 billion? A pallet of poo paper from Costco.
That's true. In a couple
and they
cases
were both
of white
just
cloth.
About as useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they say they're still well-funded with years of runway remaining, which means once you fire half your staff, that increases your runway. And then when you get near the end of that runway, you fire half of the staff that's left, and then the runway keeps getting longer. Amazing how that works.
Clubhouse 2.0, Entropy Edition.
Yes, well, they're focusing on Clubhouse 2.0. That is in their press release, although they did not elaborate on what that may be, because it's dumb.
I know. This whole article could be... pivot without saying pivot.
Yes. Or any idea of what to actually do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lyft is also laying off 26% of their employees. Now, we've all known this is happening for a long time. There's A, no money in this industry. And B, there can be only one. And Uber is way ahead. So what they're going to do, I don't know. They've got to try to sell, but who's going to buy them at this point? So they're basically getting rid of 26% of their staff as well. And then if you really want to get depressed, there's the link in our show notes, all the big tech layoffs of 2023. I will just list the companies that they discuss. Lyft, Dropbox, Roku, Lucid Motors, Meta, Rivian, Zoom, Yahoo, Dell, Deliveroo, DocuSign, GitLab, GoDaddy, Twilio, Google, Amazon, Coinbase, IBM, Microsoft, PayPal, Salesforce, SAP, Spotify, and Wayfair.
All right. All right. It's keep on coming. It's right.
Know what? You don't like your boss? Suck it up. Because ain't nobody hiring right now.
Nope, not at all. And I want to point out one thing from that first Lyft article. It says in the article, while neither Lyft nor Uber has turned a profit on an annual basis, Uber was profitable last quarter thanks to investments in other businesses. Now, if your profit comes from other businesses, is your business profitable?
Let us not forget the great Tesla purchase of Bitcoin that then he hyped dumped, which made them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there is that too. There is that too. And since this is, you know, earnings week, I do want to talk about this for a second because I saw it come through. It says Pinterest said first quarter revenue grew nearly 5% year over year. However, the company's operating loss widened to more than $243 million, up from less than $4 million this time last year. Pinterest. Who basically steals everybody's
content.
Shit and just posts it on a fucking message board. How can you lose $243 million by posting other people's shit?
Do you think they're getting sued? I wonder. I don't know. That's pretty incredible. I don't even pretend to understand.
No, I mean, it is no secret that we do not understand how Pinterest exists, let alone is a business, let alone is a public business.
Yes, you're exactly right. First off, it should not exist at all. It is basically just a copyright and IP infringement company. Secondly, what? How can you be running this company so poorly? Anyways.
Yes, okay. I know. Apparently, they left out the golden parachute for the last CEO that was $242.9 million. Jesus.
Amazing.
And I did talk last episode about how, you know, okay, Bitcoin is destroying the world still, blah, 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 and how everybody just, you know, grab your ankles because here it comes. These AI LLMs are going to start destroying the world. But now we know at least we can put a cost to how much it costs to just run the front end of one. This isn't even training. So the estimate right now is OpenAI to just to run ChatGPT for one day costs about $700,000.
Wow. I guarantee you they're not getting that in 20 buck a month subscriptions.
Nope, nope, nope. You would think they may be running Pinterest with that kind of loss.
Well, I mean, it's not surprising at this point that they'd be running at a loss. That's going to happen. It's just, man, that's a lot of money.
So follow me on this one. Microsoft pumps $13 billion in total investment so far into OpenAI, right?
Yep.
And so they know damn good and well most of that money is just going to boomerang right back to them in fucking Azure fees.
Yep.
And when that's all done, they still own a giant chunk of OpenAI. So to me, this may be the most genius business deal since the original Microsoft deal with IBM back in the early days of the PC.
What have I said? Full disclosure, I own both Apple and Microsoft stock. What have I always said about Microsoft stock? Apple is the big sexy. Microsoft is the workhorse.
Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, this is just one amazing business deal for Microsoft.
Microsoft, man, you know, people love to hate. I love Microsoft. I love Microsoft. I love Microsoft stock. The best.
Well, I'm not a huge Microsoft fan, but, you know, they get the job done. Yeah. And I would like to also point out that I don't know if you've seen this in the news recently. Reddit and now Twitter is tickling the idea. They're going to start charging these companies that want to train their AI models on, and they call it their data.
Like
Pinterest.
It's their data.
It's their data.
I scraped it off the web. It's mine.
Yeah. So if Reddit and Twitter and any of these other companies who take your content, post it, and then resell it blatantly now, so is it really your data anymore? And I would say no. And
I would say that there is a class action lawsuit if there's not a way to opt out of that.
Yes, that would be, you know what, that probably would be very short lived because they would say, read the terms of service where it says we can do this.
That's true.
Yeah. We all signed up for it. We all know it was there. There was an article that I forgot to put in last week's episode, and it had a link to a form where you could put in your URL. I think this is a New York Times article. I'll see if I can dig it back up. But you could put in your URL and see if it's part of the GPT-4 model, or maybe it was GPT-3, but it was one of the major OpenAI LLMs that you could check and see if your website is in there. And ours is in there. One of my two personal domains is in there, which is why my bio got so much better from 3.5 to 4, because they finally scraped my website that had my bio on it. But it's kind of fun to go check that stuff out. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. OpenAI, who is right now, they're pleading with the Patent and Trademark Office to let them try and get their application to trademark GPT through.
Right.
And the Patent Office said, "Nah, you can wait," just like everybody else. So there's some back and forth in this article that I linked to that is actually kind of fascinating because of the technology names inside of GPT, because Transformer has a prior use by Google, so it may be a problem. But then they're coming back saying, well, IBM had the word machine in it, and, you know, so could go one way or the other, but I don't know if they're going to get it or not. This is one of those ones we could do a Vegas-style bet on. What do you think?
I don't think they're going to get it. I think it's going to become, you know, the Kleenex kind of thing. It's just, they're going to be like, you basically just have an acronym that stands for something that everybody is using. How are you going to trademark that?
Right. So, that nobody actually knows what it means.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be shocked if they won, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah. I mean, they put it in long enough and they're claiming that they were using GPT way back in 2018.
Right.
But Google's name of their Transformer came out in 2017. So there's still prior art, even if they go back to the beginning of OpenAI.
Yeah. Well, Jason, cast back your mind to just, you know, decades ago before ChatGPT was the new hotness and we were all
the dark ages.
We were all talking about the deep fakes and worried about the deep fake videos and how we were just discussing about how are we going to be able to tell the difference between what is real and what's a deep fake or an AI generated video. Well, shit, it's all over.
Okay.
Doesn't matter anymore. Republicans have had a prepared, fully AI-generated ad ready to go to respond to whenever President Joe Biden officially announces his re-election campaign, which he did earlier this week, and they unleashed the dogs on us. So this is a completely, completely AI-generated ad showing basically that the world will fall apart, of course, if Biden wins again.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet. Is it any good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
Nothing matters. Now, they didn't do anything like crazy. They didn't like fucking drop Pepe the Frog in there or have Biden like, you know, open his jaw like from V and eat Kamala or anything like that, which, you know, yeah, no, you know, doing anything to children or anything. But it is basically, yeah, like none of the video in this is real. And that is a fucking new thing, man. And it's a weird thing.
All right. You got to break new ground.
Yep. They sure did. I expect that this is just going to be normal moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, somebody had to take the first step in the end of society. So why wouldn't it be the RNC? Exactly.
It's kind of on brand for them.
They're sticking to the script is all I'm saying. They're just sticking to the script.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Speaking of sticking to the script, Daniel Ek over at Spotify, he's worried about AI, but he says it's cool and it's scary and it may pose a risk to the creative industry.
Like your product.
Exactly. I just think he's worried that he's going to lose the crown. That's what he's pissed off about.
Right.
He will no longer be the destroyer of livelihoods. I'm just saying.
It's a good thing for him.
It's a good thing for him.
Now, I know last week I put the kibosh on Twitter stories, but how could you not put this headline in there and just one quote from it? How Elon Musk turned the blue check mark into a scarlet letter. And then this paragraph is great. The masses are not balking at paying for Twitter Blue because they're trying to shelter themselves within a crumbling elitist internet order, but because they think Musk is offering an unworthy product and he's also a dickhead.
Well, they're not wrong.
And that seems to be the way it's playing out online.
And you may notice if you see me on Twitter, I have a blue check mark.
You do?
Yep. You know why?
No.
Because I hate these fucking people who are just Frankensteining and piling on to anybody that has one saying that you're a horrible person. Well, you know what? I'm a contrarian motherfucker. So I went and got one just to say fuck you to the groupthink out there that's going on. And I'm just like, screw you guys. There's actually some useful shit in Twitter Blue. I turned it off because Elon is a dickhead, but I turned it back on because you're being a bigger dickhead. So fuck you.
So how's Twitter going?
The same shit, different day. I still get some good news off of it. I'm curated.
Me too. I've got a curated list and my list is fine. Sure, a lot of people have left or they post less, but the people that still do, it's good.
Yeah. I haven't noticed a quality difference, except it may have gone up a little bit.
I think we're going to be in for a bit of a rough ride over the next week or two. Blue Sky is actually unbelievably seemingly picking up a bit of steam.
Yeah, but for the 10 people that can get in, you know?
Yeah, that's the problem. They're scaling smartly, actually. I think it's good. They're building up buzz on Twitter.
On Twitter.
It's like they're the Voldemort. It's the service that must not be named, because apparently if you do like name it and put a link in, you get shadow banned.
Oh, great.
Because Elon, you know.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, I signed up for the beta or the list like day one. Right. And I haven't gotten in, but you know, Jack and I never really got along in real life, so maybe he shadow banned me. Fuck.
Yeah. He beard banned you.
That's where everything goes. Yeah. You know, it's a ham sandwich
and Jason in there.
It is justifiable, you know. He doesn't.
Well, Jason, you did a lot of things in your 20s that basically should get you permabanned from any services from any of these people ever.
Oh, I should have been kicked off the internet a long time ago.
You really should have.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, anyway, since you put that in, I felt free to put in my SpaceX news this week because we said
SpaceX was fair game.
Okay. So Starship popped up, went boom, and made a big hole. And
it did more than go boom. It boomed everything.
Yeah, it did. It did boom everything. It was like me on the internet in my 20s, actually.
Kind of.
And it was all because of one man.
Oh, look, he's launching. Oh, shit, he exploded up there. Oh, shit, he blew up everything down beneath him, too.
Yeah. No, and like my 20s and this new SpaceX debacle, it was all it all focuses around the arrogance of one stupid man.
Back yes, then, one it was person me. Did not listen.
Now it's, yes, exactly. Now it's Elon. So we have to throw back to October 7th of 2020, where Elon tweeted, aspiring to have no flame diverter in Boca, but this could turn out to be a mistake.
Oh, yep. It did. It turned out to be a real mistake. In fact, environmental groups are getting ready to sue your ass because you've destroyed entire environments for almost 100 miles.
Yep. So that hey, you know, we learn everything from every launch, and this one was no different.
Oh, shit, that stuff that they learned before should have done that.
Yeah, it takes on a different tone when you don't actually learn from your mistakes. So I do believe the next time we see Starship launch, it will be from Cape Canaveral in Florida. It will not be from a swamp in Texas.
Yes, that did not use any of the technology or hard-earned lessons.
A technology which I'd like to point out is a ditch in some water. That is the technology. It's a ditch in some fucking water. That's all you needed to do. He wanted to raw dog Texas, and he did.
He did. So let's talk about Elon's ex-wife, because she had a bit of a week on Twitter.
Oh, yes, she did.
Yeah, she decided Canadian synth pop artist Grimes said AI artists can use her voice without worrying about copyright or legal enforcement. I'll split 50% royalties on any successful AI-generated song that uses my voice. Same deal as I would with any artist I collab with, she tweeted. Feel free to use my voice without penalty. I have no label and no legal bindings. I think it's cool to be fused with a machine, and I like the idea of open sourcing all art and killing copyright, she added. Her offer to split royalties says it would apply to any successful AI song using her voice, leaving some confusion over where the cutoff is. I would like to point out at this point that this is in no way whatsoever killing copyright.
Nope.
She is very much keeping her copyright and licensing the use of her voice, nor is she allowing people to use her voice without penalty. If she is expecting 50% of royalties, and this being the music industry, there will indeed be a penalty if there's a successful song that does so without paying said royalties. Yeah. Once again, words have meaning, and often legal meaning, even if you're Grimes. Now, didn't stop there, because other people pointed out the same sorts of things that I was thinking when I read this bullshit.
Yeah, continue.
After telling her fans that she's down with open sourcing all art and killing copyright in a series of tweets and offering to split the royalties, she realized that there might need to be some guardrails after all.
Has she learned nothing from her ex-husband?
Well, I think her lawyers read her tweets. Okay, hate this part, but we may do copyright takedowns only for really, really toxic lyrics with Grimes' voice, she tweeted on Monday afternoon.
Too late. Too late. Yeah. You already said.
IMO, you'd really have to push it for me to want to take something down, but I guess please don't be the worst, as in try not to exit the current overtone window of lyrical content with regards to sex and violence, like no baby murder songs, please.
Oh, so I can't have Grimes do Last Caress? I killed your baby today.
The mother of two with ex-Elon Musk then went further, much like her ex-husband, openly debating with herself whether issuing takedown notices, often making the open call for Grimes songs with no limits, would make her a hypocrite. I think I'm Streisand affecting this now, but I don't want to have to issue a takedown notice and be a hypocrite later, she said in reference to an attempt to censor or hide a piece of information. Shut the fuck up!
You know that internal voice, Grimes? That's supposed to stay internal. You're not supposed to tweet it the entire
way
through.
Float this idea of like, go ahead and do whatever you want. Wait, hold on a second.
Wait, I may have fucked up.
I was a little stoned. I rethought this.
God.
Anyways. My God. It's fucking people with too much fucking money.
Yeah. Too much money, not enough sense.
Yep. I'm sure her team must be a treat to be part of her team.
Oh my God. We've worked with some rough people, but man, can you imagine?
I would kill myself.
I would kill her. Let's skip the middleman and go straight to the
source. Don't turn that into a song, though, because she'd be forced to issue a copyright infringement, because that would involve violence, Jason.
Okay. Anyway, speaking of toxic people, oh, yes, Nick Clegg is back in the news, sort of. This is a nothing story, so we'll just tack it on at the end here. Meta's Clegg invokes anti-China rhetoric against TikTok. So now he's saying, yeah, TikTok has an unfair advantage. They should be banned because they're beating us. That's why. Yeah. He's jumping on. He sees an opportunity that he can take out a competitor, and he's going to take it because he's a soulless piece of shit. This episode is sponsored by Mood. 420 celebrations come in all shapes and sizes, just like the many ways to enjoy your THC. Mood offers just the right buzz with their federally legal flower, gummies, vapes, and more, helping you find the perfect high. Mood is offering our listeners a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just head over to hellomood.com and use our exclusive code GOG. Mood's latest introduction, the THCA flower, is a game changer, offering the classic cannabis high with a twist. With 10 high-inducing strains, it's their most potent lineup yet. What's even better is that all Mood products are extracted from hemp, making them federally legal, and are regularly tested to ensure the highest quality. Sourced from small family farms, you're getting a product that's effective and pesticide-free. I tried several of their products, from the uplifting Energized to the mellow Chill, and I must say, each provided a unique, enjoyable high. My favorite? Definitely the Creative strain. It sparked an incredible flow of ideas and got me through my daily projects with ease. Whether you're new to THC or a seasoned aficionado, Mood has something for every vibe. Their in-house experts have tailored different strains to match specific moods, offering a range of products to suit any preference. From delectable gummies to classic flower and convenient pre-rolls, there's a multitude of ways to enjoy Mood's offerings. Celebrate 420 exactly how you want to with Mood. Get 20% off your first order, plus a free THCA pre-roll at hellomood.com with promo code GOG. That's hellomood.com. Code GOG. Everyone needs a world-class VPN. Grumpy Old Geeks recommends private internet access to protect your online privacy and identity. Private internet access never keeps any records of their users' online activities, so you can be assured that you have complete privacy and nobody knows what you're doing online. No matter your technical skills, private internet access is one of the easiest VPN apps out there. All it takes to connect is just one click or tap, and your data will be encrypted instantly. With just one private internet access VPN subscription, you can connect up to 10 devices at the same time. Go to gog.show/VPN and sign up today. For a limited time only, you can get our favorite VPN for just $2.69 a month when you sign up for 2 years. gog.show/VPN. That's gog.show/VPN. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. Now, on this show, we talk a lot about how much of our personal info is out there. We're talking about home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. And if you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're not alone. That's why I want to tell you about Delete Me. It's a game changer for protecting your personal information. As someone who's been through the ringer with spam calls and phishing attempts, finding Delete Me felt like a breath of fresh air. Could your potential views expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence in this election year? The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. Angry individuals, motivated by their political beliefs, can now easily access personal details from data brokers for 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment and identity theft. Fortunately, you can safeguard your data with Delete Me. Delete Me scours the internet, finding and removing you and your family's personal data from hundreds of data broker websites. And they don't just do it once, they monitor your information to ensure that it stays private. I signed up and provided the specifics on what I wanted to go, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me in the loop with regular updates, showing exactly where my info was popping up and confirming when it was removed. Seeing how dedicated they are to protecting my privacy is a relief. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now available at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. One more time, that's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. On this show, we often discuss the vast amount of personal info floating around out there. We're talking home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. If you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're definitely not alone. That's why I need to tell you about Delete Me. It's been a game changer for me in protecting my personal information. As someone who's been bombarded with spam calls and phishing attempts, discovering Delete Me was like finding a magic shield. Here's a really frustrating fact. The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. With rising political tensions, your political views could expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence. Angry people, fueled by their beliefs, can access your data from data brokers that cover 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment, identity theft, or worse. But there's good news. Delete Me works tirelessly to safeguard your data. They scour the internet, finding and removing your personal information from some of the largest data brokers in the world. And they don't just do it once. They continuously monitor to ensure your info stays private. I signed up and provided details on what I wanted removed, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me updated with regular reports, showing me where my information was popping up and confirming when it was deleted. Seeing their commitment to protecting my privacy has truly been a relief. Now, here's something special for all of you. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get that 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout.
Media Candy.
Brian, have you seen Highlander 2, The Quickening?
No, because there couldn't be only one.
Yeah, there should have been only one. There should have been only one.
I'm sure I probably did see this at some point. It has been buried in the mists of time, and it probably was horrible.
There are two versions of Highlander 2. There is the director's cut, and then there's the original theatrical cut. Mm-hmm. The original theatrical cut is the first one I saw because I saw it the day it came out because I was such a huge fan of Highlander. And I went with my friend Robert Fogarty, who is the voice of GOG. Well, he's been playing around with ChatGPT, and he says, here's my most recent exchange with ChatGPT. And he says, please answer this as Sean Connery. What is the planet Zeist? And there are two different versions of the planet Zeist between the two different cuts. But I'm going to let – thanks to AI, AI will answer the question and will actually speak the answer to the question as Sean Connery.
All right. Well, if I may, the planet Zeist is a wee bit of a mystery, isn't it? Some might say it's a fantastical place from a film I had the pleasure of starring in called Highlander 2, The Quickening. But truth be told, the concept of Zeist wasn't exactly crystal clear, even to me, and the film didn't quite live up to the expectations of our loyal Highlander fans. So let's just say that Zeist is a place best left to the imagination, eh?
I would like to point out that mic bump that you hear in there was added by the AI, not by me.
Interesting. That was pretty close.
That was only trained on 3 samples. I got 22 to go if I want to really run it out. That was fun because ChatGPT fucking nailed the answer and 11 Labs nailed the voice. So yeah,
pretty good.
Pretty fun.
I went to a movie theater this past weekend for the first time since pre-pandemic.
Ooh, how was that?
It was fine.
Any PTSD kick in?
No, I was okay. Yeah, I've been to concerts and stuff. So I've been around people. I just haven't been in a movie theater. And we took our kid, obviously. So we saw the Super Mario Brothers movie. Not bad.
Yeah, that's what Dave said.
I wouldn't go as an adult without a kid and watch it. But you know, yeah, with a kid. Sure. Yeah. You know, Jack. Okay. Jack Black did Jack Black. Jack Black doing Jack Black. Perfect for the Super Mario Brothers movie. Jack Black doing Jack Black. Not so good in Star Wars universe.
It's so funny. I was thinking, wasn't he just in Picard? No, that was, I really had to think for a second. I'm like, what fucking show was he just
Mandalorian,
in?
Mandalorian, yeah. So, did not work there, but I mean, he was the saving grace of this movie. He was awesome in it. It was really funny.
I loves me some Jack Black.
Yeah. Caught up with Succession.
All right.
I think I'm 100% on board with your initial thought after the passing of the main character. Don't need 7 episodes of the kids fighting.
No, no.
No. They could have done it in 2 or 3 and it would have been fine.
Yeah, I think 3 would have been good. 3 would have been good. They are kind of dragging it out. I did really like the episode, though, this last episode.
I did, too. It was good. It was definitely good. I just don't know if I want to see 6 more of them like that.
I'm sticking with it. I mean, it's still great writing, and I still am invested in the characters. So, yeah.
And I also caught up with Ted Lasso, which I do hope they end the show with this season. I think there's too many storylines going on. A couple of them I don't even care about. I was so thrilled that they actually got back to playing soccer and talking about soccer in this episode. I was like, thank God, finally. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this was episode 7, so there's not that many left. So they need to start wrapping up, you know?
Yep. Yep.
I think I liked it. It was okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It doesn't have the magic of the first season.
Nothing does, you know. No. That was so out of left field. And at the time, we all needed it.
Yep.
You know, so it's a different time now. Now we have Black Mirror coming back, and it's like, okay, I'm in. Could not watch Black Mirror during the pandemic, but now, bring it on.
Now, bring it on.
I watched a new show on Apple TV Plus, or is a movie, called Ghosted.
Yes.
And you can't turn on your Apple TV without getting an ad for it. So
no, you cannot. You can't go anywhere on the internet without getting an ad for it. But the reviews I've seen have been uniformly, this is crap.
It is. It's a low rent Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but it's fun. I loved it. We just sat around on a Saturday and watched. It's like those Kevin Hart movies. They're not good movies, but they're enjoyable. It's, you know, it's the Adam Sandler effect.
Gotcha.
So,
understood.
Yeah, if you just need something to watch that's, you know, that you really don't have to think, or when you don't want to think, this is it. It's a great little it's a great little time waster to watch with somebody that you just want to kill some time with, you know?
Perfect. All right. Yep. Maybe I'll give it a go. Mm-hmm. The Witcher Season 3 trailer is out. This is notable because it's Henry Cavill's final turn as Geralt of Rivia. He will not be returning to the show. He's not Superman anymore, so I'm not entirely sure why he's not coming back anymore, but he's not.
Contracts. I think the contracts were signed, so yeah, he can't come back.
He'll be replaced by the lesser Hemsworth.
Okay.
Liam.
Liam's the one that was in Westworld, right? Or was that Heppo?
Oh.
Heppo Hemsworth. I don't know.
Good deep call, man.
I had to try.
He didn't even go for one of the main ones.
No, it's... So
nice.
In interesting news, Succession's Brian Cox is going to play a villain in the Bond-themed reality show. He's going to play the controller in Amazon's 007's Road to a Million, which is basically a direct ripoff of The Mole. So they're going to try and out-mole The Mole.
Okay. I have one bit of a advice or a thought for you, Amazon. I'm going to give this to you free. You've signed up one Brian Cox to be a supervillain. I would say sign the other Brian Cox as well, because he kind of looks like a supervillain already with his dark hair and he's got the English accent and everything, and have the two Brian Coxes be both villains in the same 007 thing.
Ooh, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, dueling Cox.
Long way to go for that joke.
No, that just came together right now, but man, I had to go a long way for it.
Oh, man.
Ups and doodads.
I mentioned last episode, Brian, that Apple has a history of just taking other people's shit, right?
Yep.
Well, Wall Street Journal comes along with an article just in time that says when Apple comes calling, it's the kiss of death. And it's an entire article about how they've been doing this through their entire history, finding a great idea. And it's called Sherlocking for a reason, because search on macOS originally was from a company called Sherlock. And Apple came and just Sherlocked them. Took it, ran with it, did it. So, And they're going to be doing it again. this time, day one is in their sights because Apple is going to be launching a journaling app in iOS 17. And the real shit thing about this is Apple has introspection to everything that you do on its system.
It's immediately going to be way more valuable and useful than any other app you've ever had.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's going to look worse. It's like the podcast app. It's going to take 10 years. It'll be usable.
Yeah.
I still use day one daily, and I'm going to stick with it just because I'm invested in the ecosystem. And I highly doubt that Apple is going to have a day one importer come along, because I don't even know if day one has an exporter. I'm sure they do. Yeah. It's automatic, you know, Matt Mullenweg and that crew now, since they bought it. But yeah. This is it's not good for day one, but
no.
What you gonna do? You got Apple.
Yeah. Something else Apple is doing. Bloomberg sources are claiming that Apple is developing an AI-based health coach nicknamed Quartz. So there must have been a company called Quartz that was doing an AI trainer.
Yeah.
Well, they just took it.
The code name for the journaling app is called Jurassic. So.
Right.
Somebody was watching raptors eat somebody, and they're like, yeah, that's what we're going to do to day one.
Yeah. So this will draw on Apple Watch data to create personalized programs for exercise, diet, and sleep. This will require a subscription. One will assume it'll just be part of Apple One and launch sometime in 2024, provided nothing changes. That's actually kind of cool. I wouldn't mind that. My biggest complaint about the AI or about Apple Fitness is there's no like pre-planned workout programs. You just kind of select whatever you want to do and do that. Mm-hmm. It's not like Beachbody did, like, you know, here's a 6-week course. That's something that this AI-based thing could presumably make for you.
That would be nice.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you use Apple Health yet on the Apple TV or the exercise app without owning an Apple Watch?
You can do it with your phone now. So you have to have either an iPhone or a watch.
Okay. Well, that's good. Because I just set up that whole workout area in my garage with that monster TV, and that's going to be the Apple workout area, because I want to start getting into some of those yoga workouts.
Oh, they're really good, man. I think you'll enjoy them.
Yeah, I hate wearing my watch when I'm working out. That's
you get used to it, but yeah, you don't have to. Like it does give you extra metrics, but who cares, right? Yeah, you're working out. Who needs the metric?
We've talked about this
ad nauseum on this show.
I'm not Tim fucking Ferriss. I don't need to keep a journal. I just
exactly.
Do I feel better when I'm done? Yes. Mission accomplished.
Exactly.
All right. I think that's actually a pretty decent idea. So that'll be good.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're finally bringing health to the iPad OS.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well,
where I'll never look at it, just like don't look at it on my phone. Awesome.
I don't want to know any of that.
Can't get a calculator, but we can get the health app.
Yeah. Or like working weather.
Yeah. Well, give that ghost up. I'm just going to put a calculator on an iPad. How fucking hard is that? Come on.
I know. That's insane.
I got a new update, a new updated app this week, Farago, mm-hmm. 2 by Rogue Amoeba, which Farago is basically the soundboard application. It's right. Really nice.
God, I remember trying the demo out when they first released it with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. They finally got to version 2, which is a whole, looks like an entire rewrite. The UI is much nicer. I don't have anything set up on this computer, so you are spared. Spared all my sound bites. The really cool thing, though, which, you know, finally, and this makes me really happy, is they have Stream Deck integration. So that makes it really nice, because I set up my Stream Deck with all of my sound bites, because you can use it as a soundboard by just dragging MP3s into the buttons and making them play. Mm-hmm. But I was used to Farago because when you drag a sound into that, it copies it and keeps a local library of it. Which is important when you move computers and things like that. Well, I, for some stupid reason, assumed Stream Deck did the same thing. And all of the samples from all the movies that I painstakingly created myself for like 7 or 8 hours of these things, I threw the file or the folder away because I was changing machines and I thought it was someplace else, and they're just all gone. So I haven't redone them yet because I don't fucking care. I'm not 20 anymore. I don't have time for that.
Exactly.
But $49 new, $25 if you already have version 1. It's Mac only. All the stuff I'm about to mention is Mac only, so I'll make it quick. since it is Rogue Amoeba, you can get a deal if you bundle it with Loopback, which is another app that is a must-have if you do audio on the Mac. Loopback is it's just that you know, if Loopback got Sherlocked, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, just build it in already.
Yeah, and the other thing that should be built in is this app that they have called Sound Source, which is a drop-down sound manager that lets you, thank God, change volumes based on all sorts of parameters, but most notably, app by app. I attend a lot of Zoom meetings, and I work on a lot of audio, and sometimes I just want the Zoom meeting to shut the fuck up while I do something else. You can't do that. I found a way using Loopback to go create just a phantom sound source that I could set Zoom to shut it up and then go back to it and turn it back on. But with Sound Source, you can just drag a slider. It's expensive for what it is. It's $39.
That's a lot for...
That seems like
if you have a need for it,
there it is. Yeah. I'm getting it. So, you know, I would prefer it be $19.99 or even better, $9.99. It seems
Patreon.com/GOG.
Yeah, it really does seem like a $9.99 type of thing, but whatever. New browser is out called the Arc browser. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm. I have not.
It's interesting. It's still built on Chrome because it's built by ex-Instagram engineers, former heads of design at Tesla and Medium. I don't know if that's a good thing for the
time. I'm not sure if those are selling points.
Yeah. A bunch of Google Chrome alums and a founding engineer of Amazon S3, alumni from Snap, Slack, and Pinterest. Okay. So those are all the people that are behind this thing. And it is trying to make a more pleasant browsing experience. It completely changes the paradigm of how 90% of your browser works, which is kind of confusing. The nice thing is, though, because I use Brave during the day, every day. So when you fire up Arc, you can bring in all of your presets and everything from Brave, including all of the stuff that's logged in and your extensions, everything. It does like a full clone, which is awesome for getting started. It just takes some getting used to as far as the interface goes. I swear to God, it is twice as fast as Brave is. And Brave
all
is
these
twice
browsers
as fast as
start
Chrome.
Off. All of these new browsers start off really fast, and by the time we're at version 5, 6, 7, or 8, they're all slow as F again. So
yeah, as soon as the bloat rolls in.
Yeah, the bloat rolls in. I've also been seeing a lot of press releases about how there are new browsers coming. There's at least 5 or 6 that I've seen. I didn't put them in the show notes because I'll wait until it actually exists, that are all based on ChatGPT or AI or whatever. So we have AI browsers coming soon.
I'm going to tell you who's going to win that right now, though. Edge.
Yeah.
If you want an AI browser, you need Edge. Edge is the only one that has BingBot integrated into it, and BingBot is basically ChatGPT, but with access to real data, you know? Because I was asking ChatGPT this morning, how much has Microsoft invested into OpenAI in total? It could only tell me $3 billion because it cuts off.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have the full context. So that's why I have a copy of Edge in my fucking, you know, dock now, because it actually works for the most part. Now, the next thing is Adobe's Firefly.
This looks amazing.
Fucking A. Holy shit, is this thing cool.
Yeah.
I am signed up. I'm on the beta list. Please let me in. I pay you an ungodly amount of money every month, so I get to use your products 2 times a week. So let me in.
It's pretty cool. I've signed up for it as well. I want to see this thing.
Oh, man. If you don't know what we're talking about, you have to go see the videos. It is basically the AI, the generative AI-ification of Photoshop, Illustrator, probably After Effects at some point. Yeah. It is the coolest thing that I've seen come through in decades, hands down.
Yeah. If you're a designer right now.
Pivot.
Pivot. Time to start thinking about pivoting.
Yep.
You'd be Firefly Wrangler. Learn the prompts, as we say. Yes. Firefly Wrangler. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So since Microsoft can't be outdone at this point, they have just released their AI-powered designer called Designer, because it's Microsoft and they can't name anything.
Yep. No, I had this very discussion with a coworker who was like, oh, that's the dumbest name. I was like, it's Microsoft. Look at their names. Windows. Office. Designer. It's right on brand.
Okay, what the fuck does Excel mean then?
I don't know.
Okay. Why is their mail program called Entourage?
Outlook.
On the Mac, it's Entourage. Hmm. At least it used to be. And what the fuck does Outlook mean?
I'm looking out at my emails.
Yes.
I'm looking out my windows.
I'm looking at my weekend disappear.
Anyways, I'm very excited about this, too. I really want to try this out.
It's so, out. You have a PC. Yep. Go for it.
Yep. I intend to. I'm downloaded on my laptop. I just haven't had a chance to load it up yet.
All right. Grammarly Go has finally launched. It's basically a version of Grammarly with ChatGPT built into it. Mm-hmm. I had it write me a tweet last night.
All right.
Because it's built in. It's built into the browser. So let me see what my tweet was. I even forgot what it said. It was so unmemorable because I basically wrote it to see if anybody would like it. That was one like. But I have to pull it up on my phone because, of course, like I said, I'm on a different machine and it wouldn't let me do my do. So here's what I said. Working hard tonight to get everything ready for tomorrow's GOG podcast recording. Meanwhile, my furry friends are providing some background noise with their snoring and farting. Hashtag multitasking. Hashtag dog life.
Well, see, if you want to get likes now that you've got that blue check, you just have to tweet something kind of vaguely authoritarian or against women.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you'll get tons of likes.
Oh, man, if I really want some new followers, I just got to get racist. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. You just got to go racist.
Yep, that's about it.
No choice, really.
So hopefully Grammarly Go doesn't have any guardrails and they'll let me Hitlerize my tweets. Hitlerize my tweets with GPT.
We need to write a plugin.
Oh my God. Well, Snapchat tried to do the AI shuffle and have failed miserably. Over the past week, Snapchat's average U.S. App Store review is 1.67, with 75% of reviews being one star. Previously it was 3.05, with 35% of reviews being one star. This all comes out because they put in a new feature called My AI, which nobody likes. So. Okay. That's about that.
Well, it's Snapchat.
It is Snapchat. And their earnings are out, too. They did. Mm-hmm. Their earnings per share are 1 cent, adjusted from a loss of 1 cent that was expected. So, that 200%.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, they made $989 million, but they were expected to do $1.01 billion. And I'm still like, who's on Snapchat to generate $1 billion in revenue? I still don't know anybody that uses it anymore.
383 million daily active users.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's not nothing.
Nope. But they do say that the average revenue per user was $2.58 versus $2.63. That's not very much.
No, it's not.
And that comes down to the point where it's like, why don't you let people pay you $3 and stop dealing with the ad bullshit? Wait, they tried that. Nobody paid because they used them as beta testers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit of hardware here. I recreated my COVID setup at home so I could work in the evenings. Got out my, at Veridesk monster beast and all this other stuff. But I didn't have any speakers at home and I needed some studio monitors to listen to some of the audio. And I went through Amazon. I'm like, there's got to be something cool and new, some cool computer speakers that sound really good for studio. And I couldn't find anything that was like under $300. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So Presonus makes a really, really nice set of 3.5-inch near field studio monitors called the Aeris. They're $99. I have a set at the office and because I didn't want to get something this big because they're not big for studio monitors, but to get at least enough sound, you need them somewhat big.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. $100.
Cool.
Even like normal computer speakers now are more than that. They're like $150 for just computer speakers you used to be able to get for $10 at Fry's.
Yeah.
But I love these things. I mean, if you need really good studio quality audio, and it's nice, it's got a headphone jack on the front. It's got an aux in on the front, too, so you can just plug in an extra sound source if you want.
That is a nice feature.
It's really nice. It's really nice. Yeah. The only bummer is that there's no separate volume for the headphone and the output. So if you want to listen on your headphones and have it through the speakers, you got to keep unplugging and plugging it back in. That's the only downside. But for $99, what the fuck you want, man?
Get a splitter. You're fine.
Yeah, Yeah. So I am talking to you right now on the Rode NT1 fifth generation condenser microphone with SM6 shock mount and pop filter black.
Mm-hmm.
I needed another large condenser microphone for...
Define need.
For the books that I'm reading. The one that I was using was not good with my voice. That was the Neumann, was it TLS or 102? TLS 102, I think.
Okay.
That's the cheapest Neumann that you can get. And there's a reason it's the cheapest Neumann you can get.
Yeah.
It ain't that great. So I needed to get something that could replace that wasn't as much as a Neumann. I needed something cheap. And everybody has been, I've seen these things used forever. A lot of musicians use them because it is a condenser mic, not a dynamic mic like I usually use for podcasting.
Yeah.
This thing is $250. But here's the game changer on it. This is the reason I picked this. It's the new version. It's the fifth generation, they say. Inside where the XLR cable goes, when you take that out, tucked away in the back is a USB-C port.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
You can plug it directly into your computer. And this is the first microphone that has, you know, built-in digital signal processing straight to the computer. So you don't need an interface or anything that will actually let you do 32-bit float recording. Straight from the mic to the computer.
Cool.
Fucking incredible. $250.
That's not bad.
No. Nice. And it comes with the shock mount and the pop filter. So.
Okay.
And I'm hoping it sounds okay. This is actually run through an interface. This isn't using the USB-C cable. This is going through my Universal Audio Apollo Twin X. So.
Yeah.
It's going to sound a little different, but.
You've sounded exactly the same to me on every single episode since one.
Okay. That's why I do the editing.
Yep.
And who has the degree?
Yeah.
That's okay. So I like it. I like it. And I think this is it's not a great portable mic, I would say, because of the shock mount and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can take it and put it on a stand, sure, but it's not really made to go on anything but this shock mount. So I don't know if this is something you'd want to take on the road. If you're going to get something to take on the road, like check out the Shure MV7, that line. They've got a couple new ones in there. But for $250 for a home microphone that is in a decently treated room, it's a pretty good buy, I think. So
yeah,
sticking with
looks
it.
Looks good.
Yep. And something that I can't buy anymore because I can't even use the drones I have. The DJI Mavic 3 Pro came out this week. And the only reason I'm putting this in here, I mean, it's expensive. It's between $2,200 and $4,800. You got to look at the thing. The thing looks sci-fi finally. It's got this three-lensed monstrosity on the front, and it reminds me of the robot from the new robot reboot in Lost in Space.
Yeah, that's a little frightening looking.
Isn't it scary?
Yeah, I would not want to see that flying at me.
No, it just gives you that kind of reptilian, you know,
yeah.
There's
like
something wrong with
kill
it.
Me. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep. And in the future, it just might.
It
Check
just
out the next
might.
Season of Black Mirror.
As soon as ChatGPT gets onto that thing, we're screwed.
Yeah, no doubt. And finally, and in my doodads portion of the show, I've been wearing Jazz Vans for 40 years, the old school skater Vans.
Yeah.
But now that I'm old, I can't wear them as much because there's no padding on the bottom. They hurt
my
feet.
There's no support.
There's nothing. It's like wearing Converse, like old school Chuck Taylor Converse. It is a sheet of rubber and the road, and that's it.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, I know that when Nike bought Converse, they upped the game on them and put padding in them and turned them into real shoes that you could wear.
Yes.
So I'm like, did Vans ever do anything like that? And voila, Vans MTE. Is a thing. So the MTE, I don't really care what it stands for. Let me see if I can find
it.
I'm
not sure.
No, it doesn't really say much here.
But I'm sure they're going to try to get a copyright on it, MTE.
I think it says it if I take my shoes off and look in the tongue. But anyway, these are kind of like outdoor hiking shoes for the most part.
Yeah.
But they have all different styles that don't look anything like Vans.
They
right?
don't look like Vans, yeah.
No, but they do make one called the Skate High.
Oh, I see it. I just found it. Yep.
Yeah, the Skate High BOA MTE 2 shoes. They look just like regular Vans. They've got these incredible soles that are just amazingly non-slip. And they're just comfortable. I've been wearing these things for a month now. nonstop. I do take them off to sleep and shower, but you know, during the day, I these are all that I've worn. They still look like they're new. There's still tons of tread on them, even though I'm still, you know, walking like, you know, anywhere between 10 and 15,000 steps a day. So they're lasting, which is amazing. That's what Converse never did. Check them out, man. If you want some Vans for old people, they are really comfortable walking shoes, and they're waterproof, I believe, too, for
nice.
Snow days.
I'm gonna pick up a pair of these. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very cool. Very cool.
Because my Converse are falling apart. They really are. I love my Converse, but they're falling apart.
Yeah, it's time, Brian. It's time.
Yep.
At the library.
I'm changing my at the library tack here, Brian. I'm going for a different type of book right now.
Okay.
So, my first book is by Carl Sagan. It's called The Demon Haunted World: Science is a Candle in the Dark. Have you read this book?
I have not.
You should read this book.
Okay.
This is a really good book. It's from the mid-90s. I don't know if it was his last book or whatnot, but it's his musings on how the world is falling apart. How
great.
he basically predicted 2023, you know, talking about how the media has destroyed the world with their soundbiteification of everything. Okay, so there's Twitter right there. And just it's a laundry list of everything that, you know, is starting to come back. People believing in crystals and psychics and all that crap. He's like,
oh my God,
there's
so much of that everywhere now.
Yeah. No, it's all in the book. I'm telling you. He's predicted everything. It's incredible. And the audiobook is read by Cary Elwes, which is, you know, how can you not love a book read by the Dread Pirate Roberts? Yeah, come
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. There's a little stuff
I will read
at the beginning.
Even though it'll depress me.
It's not actually that depressing because it's Carl Sagan. It's still, you know, everything sucks, but here's the way out of it. You know, it's like science.
Here's the turn we will not be taking.
Yeah. And just to go on the other opposite end of the spectrum, I'm reading Soul Boom, Why We Need a Spiritual Revolution by Rainn Wilson.
Okay.
Great book. Fascinating. I had no idea about his history with the religion that he was brought up in. And how much he's actually, how much thought he's put behind this stuff, and it's how deep he is into it. He was a 12-stepper too. He got sober from a 12-step program and kind of got back into his spiritual side. And it's a really, really well-written book so far. And both of these I'm like halfway through, but it's nice to – I'm trying to have balance with the type of stuff that I read now. So don't go down that read like 17 of the same book. You know, we have the standing rule where if you're reading part of a trilogy, you have to read a book in between. You're not allowed to go to the next book. So I'm just trying to shift back and forth. Like one day I'll walk and it'll be science. The next day it'll be woo-woo. So must have balance. Okay. And as I'm a truly old person now, and I have to read this damn Alcoholics Anonymous big book every day, I have bad eyes. I have bad eyes. So I went to Amazon and I did buy the Alcoholics Anonymous large print abridged fourth edition, does not include personal stories, paperback. Brian, I have a large print old man book now.
I was kind of hoping you'd go memento with this and just tattoo it all over your body.
Hey, the day's not over, man. Day's not over. Because the reason I have to read it so much is because I have no memory anymore. Since the stroke I get, I've got the memory of a goldfish.
Right.
So it's – but – this thing is huge. It's like, you know, it's like a menu at Denny's, but I can read it. So,
all right.
There's that.
Excellent. That works.
Closing shout outs.
Over at Patreon, we've got Justin. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you, Justin. Over at PayPal, we've got Derek, Mark, Charlie, and Jason, who gave us $250.
All right.
Pretty impressive. And he says, grumpy old geeks and a bribe. Brian, I was the grumpy old geek who tried to get you to say Ahsoka correctly before, but you didn't get it right. You keep saying Osaka, which is a city in Japan, when it should be Ahsoka. I'm now trying to bribe you to pronounce the Star Wars series correctly. I still love the show, but don't like how you butcher the name of a Star Wars character's name. Keep on grumping. And for Jason, Deliveroo from Jason. Now, Jason, what you have done is disincentivized me from saying any name correctly, because if you send me $250, I can't wait to talk about the new Abby Wong Kenobi series coming up.
What's funny is I kept hearing you say it, and I know how it's spelled, and I thought I was giving you the benefit of the doubt because I didn't want to be that Star Wars pedant that everybody hates.
Like Jason is?
Yeah.
Except he softened the blow with $250. You know, it's just one of those, you know, when you get a word stuck in your head and it's just not right and you just can't dislodge it and you keep saying it that way. Yeah, exactly. It's that is the word for me. So I will attempt to make sure I rewire my brain prior to the series starting because God knows we're going to talk about it a lot. Or I'll just keep doing it and you keep paying me money.
Keep sending money. Yeah. Like, Jason, we could set you up with a recurring subscription since.
How about every time I say it wrong, you send us $50?
Yeah. Hey, well, maybe I should go Deliveroo. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Much appreciated. Over at Derek, we've got $40.
Over
bucks.
At Derek?
Yeah, over at Derek. Over at Stripe.
Over at Derek's Derek. Place.
Yeah, so, you know, everybody keeps sending us some money. We need it. And our place is your place. Mi casa, su casa. Over at Stripe, we've got Derek for the $40. Thank you very much. We've also got Derek. I'm stuck on Derek. It's Derek's all the way down. Daryl, Ashley, and Adam.
And Osaka.
And Osaka. Deliver no!
And we got a new 5-star review this week from the Bog Witch. That's a great name. Mm-hmm. Falsely advertised, these chaps are neither old nor grumpy, or if they are, they're not as old as grumpy and as grumpy as me. Some weeks, they're positively upbeat. They spot hype trends in tech and call them out with unnerving accuracy and even force their regular security correspondent to abandon security and talk about Disney shows. I listen every week when I need cheering up. Grumpy my arse. Now, to be fair to us, we did attempt to keep doing security. That's more Dave's move.
Yeah.
I think Dave is so fucking sick of security from all his other shows, he wants to come just fart around with us.
Yeah,
so.
Seriously. Yeah. And who are we to you know, deny a man his fartage?
Exactly.
Well, I do want to put in my weekly advertisement for Patreon for as little as $3 a month. You can sign up and get the show ad free and in high res, but we will still pronounce things probably wrong all the time.
Yes. Yes. So it's our thing.
It is. Well, it's your thing mostly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Big RIP to Picard Tips and Riker Googling over at Twitter.
Oh, who's mispronouncing things now, motherfucker?
I know. So you got you. I've been infected. Infected. So two of my favorite accounts, but they say
mine too.
Yeah. Thank you for 9 years of Googling and laughing with me. Most of my accounts are now suspended. This account is ending intentionally so you can still scroll back and see the old tweets. Well, that was very considerate. And I've got links to the two accounts now on Mastodon.
Yeah.
So, which you'll never see. Yeah. So that's a bummer. That's a bummer. Swear Trek is still alive and well, though. So.
Oh, good, good.
That's okay. Still going. Yeah, that's a sad one. Another sad one. Jerry Springer has died at 79. Mm-hmm. I know some people hate him. Some people love him. I was in the middle, but more towards the love side. I thought he was a good guy. I thought he did good stuff.
I think he was a good guy. I do despise the TV show and everything that created. But overall, the guy had a heart of gold, actually. So, yeah.
So somebody else that had a heart of gold, Harry Belafonte, was 96. He died this week as well.
Been listening to Deo constantly.
Yeah. Yep. I was on a jury with his daughter for 13 seconds before she said, yeah, I'm going to be biased. I was in a car accident. Can I go now? And the judge is like, yeah, get out of here.
Nice.
Then I was stuck on the damn jury. Jerk. Anyway, until next time, I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmaster. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. If you enjoy the show, visit gog.show/donate to help us keep the lights on, and we'll love you forever. You can also help us out by sharing the show with your friends and enemies. It's easy and absolutely free. Show notes for this episode are at gog.show/599. From there, you can find links to everything we talked about in this episode, as well as links to our swag and Discord channel if you want to buy some stuff or chat with us and other show fans. You can also head over to gog.show/contact and send us your feedback or questions so we can read on the air. And if you're so inclined, please head over to gog.show/review and toss us a snarky review and preferably 5 stars. Stay grumpy.
Deliveroo! And hey, Brian, next episode, 600. What are we going to do? 600. Anything special?
I was just thinking we should probably take down our swag because nobody's bought any for like 5 years.
Well, that would require work.
Yeah, fuck that.
Okay, on to 600.
Three men of the planet Zeist, hear me. You gather together in secret for the last time. You suffer under the yoke of General Katana's rule for the last time. And you stand without a leader for
for the last time.
Will you lead us, Ramirez?
No, I'm not your leader. But because I see with eyes different from yours, I see a man with a great destiny before him.
Who is he? Show him to us.
Let him show himself. Let him feel the quickening.